If you would, and turn to Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter, Matthew chapter 14. And when you have found the 22nd verse, let me ask you if you can and are physically able to stand. Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter. I do want to say thank you to the church for being so kind to us while we've been here. And just many, many individual personal expressions of gratitude. And we are grateful once again to have been able to be a part of this church for these days. Look forward to our paths crossing again here, there, or in the air. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter, beginning in verse number 22. The Bible says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side. That seems to have been a recurring theme this week. Have you noticed that? And I'll just tell you, other preachers probably do it different, Brother Rudolph. I don't sit down and figure out what group of messages I'm going to preach for a week. I just really try to pray and find the mind of the Lord. And it seems like a lot of the week we've been watching people get into a boat and go to the other side. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but that has seemed to be a recurring theme here. The Bible says in verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Can you see these other guys in this boat? Saying, what in the world is he thinking? That's a dumb request. Verse 29. And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I want you to consider with me tonight this question. Are you tired of boat life? Are you tired of boat life? Would you help me pray? Father, again, we bow in your presence. God, speak to us now, please, from your word. God, I pray that you'd order my thoughts. God, direct my words. Father, please, one last time this meeting. God, grant us the blessing of your presence. And God, if you'd let us have the added blessing, not just of the knowledge that you're here, but the experience that you're here, we'd be grateful. Make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When you look at the life and the ministry of our Lord, and on a broader scale, when you stop and consider the items and the individuals that God uses in the Bible to do supernatural things, there is a truth that becomes obvious. And that is that God uses common items and common individuals. Amen. Can I just say tonight that all that God has to work with is imperfection.
Amen.
So, well, you don't know what I've done. That makes you a candidate. You don't know what I've been involved in. You don't know what my past is. Can I just say again? That makes you a candidate to be used of God. Because that's all he's got to work with is imperfection. Listen, we spend a lot of time comparing ourselves amongst ourselves and to ourselves, and the Bible says that is not a wise thing to do. Amen? And the fact of the matter is, and I've said it before in this meeting, but the only thing that you and I contributed to our salvation was the sin that made our salvation absolutely necessary. We all come to God as sinners, amen, and we all remain imperfect. Now, he's doing a work, thank the Lord. Amen, he's working in our lives to conform us to that image of Christ. But that work, Brother Jamie, is not going to be fully completed until one day we stand before him, amen, clothed in his righteousness. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look at what God uses, he has the unique ability to take common things and to do that which is very uncommon. And can I just remind you, when you take something that is common and you place it in the hand of God, it is no longer common. We won't take time to turn because of time, but I encourage you to go to the second chapter of the Gospel of John and read the story about Jesus at the wedding feast of Cana. I heard it sung about earlier in the week. Amen. Brother Jeremy's daughters, or Brother Jeremy's family, sang a song about that wedding at Cana. The water turned to wine. And Jesus took six common water pots, amen, and a common element, had them fill those water pots to the brim with water because the wine had run out. And when they sampled the water in those water pots, it proved to be the finest wine they had ever partaken of in their entire lives. Jesus did that. You say, well, that was only a one-time miracle. Can I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, he turns the water to wine every year. So what are you talking about? You see, the rain comes down from the heavens and waters those grape arbors. And those vines draw that water up into the roots and into the vines and out into the branches. And from those branches every year burst those grapes. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I heard about a preacher down in the deep south, and he was coming back late at night from, amen, making a visit on one of his members, and he was all over the road, and the local deputy sheriff recognized the car and lit him up and pulled him over. And he said, Reverend, he said, do you know why I'm stopping you tonight? And he said, no, sir, I don't have any idea. And he said, well, it's because your car is not maintaining your lane. You are all over the road. He said, is everything okay? And the Reverend said, yes, sir, everything's fine. And the officer looked over from where he was at and noticed on the passenger seat there's a little hip flask over there. And he said to the Reverend, he said, what's in that flask? He said, oh, he said, officer, that's just water. And the officer said, let me take a sample of that. And he popped the cap on that mat and he took a sip and he said, Reverend, that ain't water, that's wine. And that preacher said, praise God, he done did it again. You can't use that as an excuse next time you get pulled over. Matthew 14, just prior to our text, Jesus is given five common loaves of bread, two common fish, and with that, once he blesses it and once he breaks it, by the way, can I just remind you, that's an essential element to being used of God. Your pastor's alluded, and a number of you have said to me in one way or the other that this has been a challenging year. It's been a challenging year for the church. It's been a challenging year in the lives of families. It's been a challenging year in the lives of individuals. Can I just remind you, that challenge is not for no reason. Jesus is breaking that which he's fixing to bless. And he's bringing some brokenness into your life. Somebody say amen.
We ought to grow to the point where we can see what the Lord's doing, and instead of whining, amen, because we're experiencing some brokenness and some hardship, amen, if we're right with God and our relationship is right with God and we haven't come unhitched as we've heard last night, and yet we're experiencing some brokenness and we're experiencing some hard things. Ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you that before He takes something that is common and uses it in an uncommon way, He will first break it, and then He'll bless it, and He'll use it to minister to way more people than He could have ever had used it before in its original element. By the way, I don't know if you've ever really thought about this, but the Bible says in that narrative of the feeding of the 5,000 that there were 12 baskets of fragments that were left over. I've always wondered, Brother Reagan, you're a good student of the Bible. You might have the answer. I've always wondered what happened to those fragments. I've heard some preachers pontificate that each of the 12 disciples got a basket for his own personal use. I've also heard it said that that little lad whose lunch was given and placed into the hand of the Lord, amen, left home that morning with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, amen, but came home with 12 baskets full of fragments. I don't know whatever's true, amen, but it is interesting to consider what happened to those baskets. Amen. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think leftovers are scriptural. Somebody ate them. Amen. Amen. So what do you mean leftovers aren't scriptural? Read your Bible. When they're in Egypt and manna comes, amen, they're out in the wilderness and manna comes in and they gather what they can eat. And if they gathered too much, it bred worms and stank. Amen. God ain't in leftovers. I'm just kidding, ladies. I'm getting that 9-mile stare from some of y'all. Amen. Amen. But you look at the men that Jesus chose and called to Himself. They were not the scholastically elite. They were not the politically astute. They were common men. And yet, although common men, Jesus did some very uncommon things through Him. In our text tonight that I've read to you in your hearing, we find a common man doing something that is uncommon. Jesus has constrained the disciples to enter into the ship and sail to the other side of the sea. Jesus sends the multitudes away, and then he ascends up into a mountain to spend some time alone. It always interested me, ladies and gentlemen, that even our Lord, amen, the Son of God, the third member of the Godhead, had to spend time alone with His Father. And if Jesus, being God in the flesh, being God manifested in the flesh, had to spend time alone with His Father, how much more do you and I need to spend time alone with our God? Ladies and gentlemen, if I'm going to get to my Heavenly Father, most of the time I'm going to have to get alone. Amen. Most of the time that is going to happen in a forum where there's nobody else around. It's just me and the Lord. And listen, maybe that is in a room in my house or a closet, as the scripture refers to one place of prayer. Maybe it's an altar. Maybe it's someplace out in the wilderness. I don't know of any mountains around here, especially any that you want to climb, because they're all landfills underneath. Somebody say amen. But we're going to have to spend some time alone. And while Jesus is talking with His Father, His disciples are encountering some rough seas and some high winds. Notice what the Bible says about this. It says that the winds were contrary. Amen? The winds were boisterous. And what verse am I in here? Verse number 24, the wind was contrary. It means it's opposing them. It's blowing against them. The waves are tossing them. It's impeding their progress. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like you're trying to make some
distance for the Lord. You're trying to head in a direction for the Lord, and it seems like everything in your life is against you. The people in your life are against you. The situations in your life are against you. The workplace is against you. Your friends are against you. Every area of your life seems like it's pushing against you. Welcome to the club. Amen. That's not an... See, this world would say, well, if it's hard, then it must not be what you ought to do. Really? If it's hard, if it's easy, everybody do it. Amen. Now listen, there are some hard things that are right things. Amen. And I'm telling you, listen, they're rowing against the wind, they're rowing against the waves, and the Bible said this, that they were threatened, they were concerned about going under. The very thing that threatened to drown them, I want you to notice, Jesus comes walking upon. Yeah. Now, Brother Rudolph, I have spent a fair amount of time as a young man out on the big lake, Lake Michigan. My grandfather was a sportsman, loved to fish, loved to hunt. I loved being with my grandpa, spent a lot of time out on the water. I have never in my life... I've taken the boat across, amen, the passenger boat. Don't call it a ferry because that's a whole other story, amen. But these truths are self-evident, amen. But I take the passenger boat across the Straits of Mackinac to Mackinac. Listen, I've never taken a trip where you had to get on a vessel to get from one place to the other, Brother Matt, and thought, boat's optional equipment. But Jesus does. Jesus doesn't need a boat. Amen. I heard one preacher, he's preaching on this text, and he mentioned, he said, listen, the miracle here is not that Jesus walked on the water, because he created the molecules that held him up. Amen. When the water saw its maker, it wanted to carry him. Amen. Can I just remind you who made you? You ought to want to carry him, amen? You ought to want to carry his message and his gospel to a lost and dying world, amen? Listen, that element that threatens to suffocate us, that element that threatens to drown us, that element that threatens to end our life is supporting him. And so Jesus shows up walking on the water. Now again, you'd think that if these guys who, amen, are fearful, they're concerned about their ability to remain buoyant, their ability to remain above the surface of the water, you'd think when they saw Jesus walking to them, they'd be excited. They'd be thrilled that somebody was coming to their rescue. But the Bible said they cried out for fear. Listen, how long had it been since they had just seen him? Take 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and with that, Doug, feed 5,000 people. But about as long as it's going to take some of us to get out of church, amen, and have a problem and then wonder where the Lord's at. After seeing him work, amen, somebody ought to help me preach right in here. Amen, after watching him, after hearing him, after experiencing him work in our lives this week and give us answers and fix our problems and hear our prayers, and then we go home, or on the way home something happens, and right away our faith begins to waver, our faith begins to sink, our boat begins to, amen, come down below the surface of the water. Hey, Jesus is still there. And so they cry out for fear. They think it's a spirit. Taylor, they think that death's coming to get them. But I want you to notice what the Lord says. Verse 27, he spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You see, these disciples, you know, it's interesting. You get around people, you get around men that are men's men, and you put them in a situation where they feel like their life is in danger and in jeopardy, and invariably their voice will raise 3 octaves. Amen. I mean, man, these guys are, listen, I don't think they're saying, help. They're like, help, help. They're freaking out, man. They're losing their minds, and Jesus ain't nervous.
His voice hadn't changed. By the way, that's how they knew it was him.
Amen.
Same voice. Amen. And so he said, be of good cheer. That's an interesting opening salvo, isn't it? Amen. You've been rowing against the waves and they've been bucking this wind and it's threatening to take you under, Matt. And the first thing he says is, be of good cheer. Amen. Ask Matt, how he's doing. He said, been a horrible day. You know what Jesus would have said? Be of good cheer. So the rudder breaks. Be of good cheer. So your life falls apart. Be of good cheer. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I like Peter, man. I like Peter. Peter hears these words and immediately realizes who it is. And instinctively. By the way. So he takes the sword. He cuts off Malchus's ear. If you think he was aiming for his ear, you're out of your mind. He ain't aiming for his ear. He's aiming for his neck. Malchus's reactions were just a little faster than Peter's sword was. That was a good day for Malchus. Amen. That was a good day for Malchus. That was a good day to be able to move fast. Amen. And then Jesus is like, Peter, idiot. It's in there in the Greek. That's an inside joke for y'all around here, amen. That's what he says to me, idiot. Put your sword away. Amen.
Yeah.
Same Peter.
Yeah.
Same guy, you know, he's you know, cut heads off, ask questions later. Cut ears off, let the Lord fix it later. You know, like most of us are to people that irritate us. Amen. I'll leave that alone. Yes, Lord. It'd have been funny, but it wouldn't have been edifying. Amen. Peter hears those words, and instinctively, without considering, without doing the physics equation, that the surface tension of the water cannot hold my weight at this many square inches per foot. He didn't do all that. He didn't go through some mathematical equation.
Yeah.
Jamie, he just said, Lord, if it's you, can I come out there and do what you're doing? Now I want you to notice, look at verse number 29. And he said, what's the word, church?
Come.
Was there a qualifier to that? You know what that tells me? That tells me that all 12 of those guys in that boat could have done exactly what Peter did if they'd wanted to. So that begs the question, preacher, why didn't the other 11 guys want to? I mean, man, that's a pretty cool thing. Now see, our default setting, because we're Bible believers, we didn't make it very far. We'd beat you. Still holds a record.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever walked on water, brothers, is when it's been below zero, amen, for a number of weeks in a row. Amen. One time when I was pastoring way up north, somebody said, oh, you got to go ice fishing. It's fun. I'm like, what's fun about sitting outside on a frozen lake with a lion through a hole in the ice? What's fun about that? Is that fun? Listen, Kroger sells fish. They ain't that expensive. That's my same philosophy for deer hunting. Meat's not that expensive. I'm not going to dress up like a tree. Listen, if I'm putting cologne on me, it's not going to be fox urine. Amen. It's going to be Marc Ecko Blue or Polo or amen, something. Amen.
Amen.
This is the thing. Jordan, this thing is hysterical to me. They dress up like a tree. They wear this stuff called real tree. And then they wear an orange hat. I'm like, what in the world? Well, you think deer are colorblind? Oh, they can't see that orange. That looks just like a tree. deer would look at me and say, man, bless God, it looks like a forest. Man, hey, Jesus says, come, and Peter just instinctively bails over the side. I got to thinking about that. What was it that made Peter get his feet wet and get out of the boat? And the conclusion was, Todd, that he was tired of boat life. He was tired of just common. He was tired of routine. He was tired of safe. Amen. Amen? Listen, we have made things so safe in this world, it isn't even fun anymore. Yeah. Amen? How many of you grew up in the era where the only people that wore bicycle helmets were folks that rode the short bus? Please don't come up and get in my face and say that's insensitive. Go away. Listen, I didn't grow up in this touchy-feely age, and I am not gonna submit at all. I'm not gonna try to be a jerk. I'm just saying when I grew up, that's the way it was. If you wore a bicycle helmet, your parents were overprotective. Listen, there's nothing that feels as good as jumping 14 Hot Wheels cars on the ramp that you built because Evel Knievel was your hero. And pulling up on the ape hanger handlebars on your Schwinn bicycle and over-rotating and smacking your head on the concrete. Because, I mean, for about 15 seconds, it feels awesome. And then it's the worst slurpy headache you've ever had in your life, man. Amen. You remember when we were kids? Yeah. If your parents had a station wagon, you had a seat that faced backward.
Yeah.
And if they didn't have a station wagon, you had a back dashboard. Yeah. And you spent the entire family vacation on the back dashboard. Yeah. Unless you were a Hispanic family. Then there was a dog, amen, the dog back there, but amen. Listen, and we'd drive down the road, Anthony, and Bennett. We'd see the police, the police. In Lima, it's a police, amen. And the po-po, amen. The 5-0, we'd see, amen. We'd see them, and we'd wave, and they'd wave back at us. Yes. They didn't arrest our parents because we weren't in a car seat. We didn't arrest our parents because we didn't have a seat belt. In fact, you know, the cars had seat belts, but you never used them.
Yeah.
Listen, I spent my entire growing up on that fold-down armor. You know, remember that bench seat? We didn't have buckets, man. We had a bench seat.
Yep. Yep.
Amen. And it had a fold-down armrest. Yep. You'd sit on that fold-down armrest. If your parents had to hit the brake hard, their arm went out like that. Am I telling the truth? Unless your parents didn't like you. Hey, they told you sit back in the seat, didn't they? If you didn't sit back in the seat, you only didn't sit back in the seat one time. Because we have airbags and amen, foam cushy dashboards. Listen, that's metal. Amen, it's like a cheese grater. Amen. Now we made things so fun or so safe, amen. I mean, man, you know, I mean, who didn't in her childhood fall off and break an arm on monkey bars? Now they got monkey bars so close to the ground you can stand on the ground and walk across them. That just takes all the challenge out of everything. Can't build a tree fort no more. Somebody might fall out of it. Hey, man, got to go swimming with these little inflatable things on your arms. Look like a dork. Amen. Amen. But I'm just telling you, listen, you know, we've gotten to the place where, and by the way, that's permeated the church. Because we want safe. We don't want to try anything unusual. Amen. We want just, amen, you know, be happy and be comfortable and amen and have everything just want. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter got tired of being in the boat. Peter just got tired of, amen. Listen, he got tired of all the people that had big Bibles but no faith.
Amen.
Amen. He got tired of all the people that could talk a good game, Jamie. But when it came down to living it, listen, I before my knees got so bad, I really enjoyed playing golf. I've never been good at it, but I enjoy it. It's a challenge. It's a little bit of exercise and get to wear funny clothes and every once in a while, I'll play golf with somebody. I mean, they will tell me how good they are. And they will come, and they got the FootJoy shoes. And they got the nice pants with little, you know, cuffs cut up that far, you know. And
They got the shirt and the hat and the glove and the whole deal. And man, to talk to him, man, Tiger Woods is, man, if Tiger Woods ever tees it up with them, he's immediately gonna lose his legendary status. Until they put the tee in the ground and set the ball on the peg, and then step back and grab their club and address the ball. By the way, that doesn't mean you say, "Hi, ball, how are you today?" The moment they address the ball and they begin to take that club back, you know right away whether they're a player or a playa. Y'all know playa? That vernacular fit around here. I know it's ministering to Brother Anthony's soul, amen? Playa. That's somebody who looks the part but ain't the part. We've got a lot of playas in church. Amen? Or you can talk the game, and you can talk the book, you can talk the 1611, you can talk the dispensations, but you ain't got no faith. Amen. And you've maintained your status. Amen. You're just like a figure at a museum. You ain't going nowhere, you just look good. You're a monument to what happened some time ago, but there's nothing else happening in your life because you're too scared to move. You're too scared to witness, you're too scared to open your mouth. Let me give you three things and I'm done quickly. If you're going to get out of the boat, amen. Number one, there must be a call. Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." Jesus said, "Come." There are three calls that I think every child of God, every person needs to answer. Number one is the call of salvation. Amen. And listen, I'm thankful that on May the 8th, 1977, he called me to himself. Amen. I'm glad he spoke to my heart. I'm glad I responded and trusted Christ as my Savior. My life's never been the same since then. But then there's a second call. Now hold on to your Bible believer seat. Put your seat back up and your tray table in the upright and locked position. Because I'm going to say a word that's going to freak everybody out. There's the call to separation. And I'm not talking about pants and pork and all that stuff. Because according to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17, Paul said, "Come ye out from among them." The call is to come out from among them, not from stuff. Not from things. And ladies and gentlemen, just listen. I don't know if you can see this, but Peter's in the boat with all these other 11 disciples. Amen. And they're all content just to ride it out and do what they've always done. But Peter comes to the place where he decides he's done with these boys. He wants to get close to the Lord. Do you realize if you're going to grow and you're going to further in your relationship to Christ, there are some people you're going to have to walk away from. There are people that will be an impediment to your Christian life. They will be an impediment to you walking with God. They will be an impediment to you making some progress in your relationship with Christ. Why? Because they don't want you to leave them. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Brother Jamie, that always broke my heart when I would preach youth camp there at Fort Faith is I knew those kids would leave fired up. And they'd get back to the house, and they'd get back to the church, and they'd meet a mom and a dad who weren't near as committed as those kids wanted to be. Amen. And they were going to try to get them to cool off and simmer down and, amen, keep their mouth closed and not be as serious about their commitment. And every year we'd see the same thing. Am I right? You work with young people all your life. Am I telling it right? They go home. And somebody's there with a wet blanket to put the fire out. Amen? Listen, this is a good church. But in every good church has got a half a dozen wet blankets. Amen? Listen, I promise you this. If wildfire did break out at this meeting, it wouldn't last very long. Because there's enough blankets to control any wildfire that might break out. If somebody got too excited, if somebody got to shouting, I mean, God forbid, right in the middle of the message, if somebody got up, like I said last night, started a conga line, right away we don't do that around here. Well, why not? Why not?
See anything unscriptural about it? Well, it just makes me feel weird. Hey, sweetheart, you ever try walking on water? That make you feel weird? Amen.
Yep.
See, there's 11 guys in that boat saying, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. It ain't going to work. You're going to sink. And Peter just drowns out the crowd, keeps his eyes on the Lord, Jordan. As long as he's doing that, everything's good. The moment he gets looking around at all the circumstances, wow, I ain't supposed to do this. These waves are big. This wind is bad. And he gets his eyes off the Lord and begins to sink. But the Lord don't let him get far. Amen. Amen. For he goes under, the Lord's got him. Amen. And he's walking on the water with the Lord. Listen, there's the call to salvation. There's the call to separation. Let me say number three quickly. There's the call to service. Do you understand God did not save you just to sit in a pew and learn?
Yes, sir.
There's a body of water over in the area of the country that is referred to as the Holy Land. By the way, I said Sunday, I like my mom's pastor's philosophy about going to the Holy Land. He said, wait till the millennium. It's free and you'll have a good tour guide. Amen. I'm going to Hawaii next week. I'll wait to the Holy Land until the millennium. Amen. Amen. Y'all pray for that trip too, seriously. I'm nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I'm bearing witness. I'm nervous wreck. Listen, I'm preaching to military guys. Ain't nothing military about me. I'm going to be the one thing on that military. You remember that little thing when you used to watch Schoolhouse Rock? One of these things does not belong here. I'm going to be that one thing, don't belong there. Nobody's going to look at me and say, what rank you have? Obese? I don't know if that's a rank, but listen, there's a body of water over there called the Dead Sea. You know why it's dead? Because all it does is take in. Nothing goes out. No water's moving through it. It just takes in. Met a lot of Dead Sea Christians in my life. Met a lot of Dead Sea Bible believers. Amen. They know, man, I mean, they know what they believe and why they believe it, but they ain't helping nobody else with it. They are just sitting and soaking and souring and learning more, and I'm not against learning. I like to learn everything I can, amen, but I want to learn it so I can help somebody else, and so I can, amen, amen, take it and say, hey, let me show you what the Lord showed me, amen. Listen, hey, he didn't save you just to sit. He saved you so you might serve him. Find a place. Amen. Listen, this is the church house. Amen. I saw somebody, Brother Rob, mowing the grass today. Amen. You know what that was doing? That's serving. He cut the yard, got the weed eater. Said, what were you doing? I was inside studying. Where's air conditioning? Watching him through the blinds. Praying for him. Amen. Somebody needs to clean the bathrooms. Somebody needs to figure out how to get another bathroom upstairs here before you build. Amen. Before you build a new building. Amen. I've been looking at the place trying to figure out how you can do it. I ain't got a good answer, but somebody ought to come up with one. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Man. Get one of the little blue outhouses out back. Amen. Make the guys go out there. I wouldn't hurt you. Well, I feel like I'm hanging from my neck on that, man. It's feet dangling 6 inches off the ground, amen. Listen, find a place to serve. Amen. Find a place to help and be a blessing. Amen. Got any widows in the church, preacher? Got any widows in the church? Yeah. You know what? Yeah. You ought to find what would be a blessing to her and help her. Amen. I mean, if she got grass to mow, she should never have to push a mower. She got to walk the shovel, she should never have to lift it. Amen. Some of you young bucks, amen. Amen. You ought to get up in the morning and on your way to work, shovel her driveway. Say, well, what's that? That's serving the Lord. I'm telling you, there's something about serving widows. Listen, do you realize that the people that are supposed to be supported out of the treasury of the church, that group is very small and exclusive? Amen. It ain't every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's got some ministry. I'm not against, listen, I believe in missions. I got two kids on the foreign mission field, amen, and three grandkids over there. But I'm going to tell you something, amen. When you're looking for people to help and people to bless, the people that God put in your church, amen, ought to be the people you start with. And widows indeed is one of those people. Amen. I don't know how I got on all that. I was preaching about service, amen. Let me give you the second point. Not only must there be a call, but let me say number two, there will be a challenge. Amen. There will be a challenge. Let me say, look at verse number 24 quickly. The Bible says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. Listen, these disciples are in water too deep to stand in, wind too strong to sail in, and waves too high to swim in. Listen, they are facing a challenge. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say this? If there's never been a challenge, there's probably never been a call. I got saved the 8th of May, 1977. And 2 months later, at a big youth meeting, God dealt with my heart about being a preacher of the gospel. Now, I know you're not going to believe me, so I'm going to say what I'm fixing to say with my hand on my Bible. I'm telling you the honest truth. I've always been, I said earlier in the week, boy's been the fattest, the biggest kid in class. First one out in dodgeball, last one picked at baseball, first one picked at tug of war. Amen. Those are my athletic credentials. They did not give letters for any of those. Didn't have a high school letterman's jacket. The last thing I wanted to do was stand in front of people. Growing up as a kid in grade school, we had show and tell. I hated show and tell, Matt. I didn't want to stand in front of people. If I had to give a oral book report or I had to solve a problem or give a speech, I mean, it was one of the hardest things in the world. And then God called me to be a preacher of the gospel. I'm like, really? Funny. That's really funny. But that call wouldn't go away. Amen. And I had to deal with my own insecurities. I had to deal with my own inferiority complex. Amen. I had to get over what I thought people thought about me. By the way, can I just say this? If you're always worried about what people think about you, you're not insecure, you're proud. Let me say that again. I'm not trying to be unkind, but if you're always worried about what people think about you and how they perceive you, it's not that you're insecure, it's that you're proud. Check it in your Bible. Tell me if I'm not right. Amen? So I had to get over all that. I had to get past my insecurities. I had to get past my own pride. Let me give you the last thing. Look at verse number 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. Not only must there be a call and there will be a challenge, but number three, there must be a choice. Listen, rational people don't look at deep water, strong wind, and high waves and say, I think I'll take a little walk. That's not what rational people do. Amen? People that do that, we think they need to be on psychotropic meds. Amen? They need something to get them back into reality. But ladies and gentlemen, Peter was in more reality than any of us are tonight. And the fact of the matter is, he got out of that boat, and I know he sank, but he walked farther than anybody else did, and Peter just decided to leave the brethren behind and safety behind and the opinions of others behind and those that told him, you can't do that, and he stepped out of the boat. Now, let me say this, and I'm done. God saved you for a purpose. He created you, and then he saved you. And there are people that you know that I'll never talk to. There are people that you work with
that Brother Reagan will never meet. There are people in your neighborhood, live on either side of you and up and down your street, that I'm never going to cross paths with. You are. Listen, I don't know if maybe God is dealing with some man's heart about surrendering and submitting to the call to the gospel ministry. I don't know that, and I'm not making that call. But if you're going through some turmoil, and life's been a little rough, and Jesus has showed up at where you're at right now, amen, why don't you just say to him, Lord, if that's really you, can I come out there and do what you're doing? Listen, I didn't ask your pastor what the circumstances surrounding his call or surrender to being a pastor and a preacher was, but I know a little bit about his background. And there was a few things had to be overcome, amen, in order to get you to that place where you'd say, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. And you know what? You know what you've got in Brother Anthony and Brother Reagan and Brother Phil? You got three common guys. Amen. Listen, I say a lot of funny things and I make people laugh. You know why that is? Because I'm trying to cope with my own insecurities. Amen. I got more insecurities than a dog's got fleas. I'm just being honest. But this is what God's called me to do. And I could just hide out, find some other way to, but that's not what he's called me to do. And then there's the problem, preacher, that he's put a fire down in here. And boy, if you've ever been a preacher and you hadn't been able to preach, you are miserable. Amen. There is something that God puts inside somebody he's called. Amen. How'd Jeremiah say it? There's a fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Listen, there might be somebody here, and you're scared to death right now. My heart rate right now is 100 beats per minute. It's not because I'm scared, it's because I've been preaching a little bit. Your heart rate might be exceeding mine by at least 25. And it's not because you're preaching, it's because God's speaking to you. There's a boat you need to step out of. There's some form of security you need to step out of. There's some safe situation you need to step out of. You need to open your mouth and be a witness for him. You need to step away and walk away from some people that are impeding your spiritual progress. Amen? You've done all right so far, but you aren't growing like you need to grow because there's some people holding you back. Amen. Man, I remember when I don't know how it was with you, Anthony. When I got saved, I was 15 years old, but I was all wrapped up in a bunch of junk and running with a bunch of the wrong crowd. I was the wrong crowd. I wasn't running with them. I was the wrong crowd. I was the kid your parents told you to stay away from. And I got saved, and I'm telling you, everything changed. I mean, immediately. And that old crowd was like, it'll wear off. They've been waiting 41. They've been waiting 41 years. Amen. It ain't wore off. In fact, I've gotten worse. Amen. I was easy to deal with back then, man. Man, I've gotten worse. It's just I got a case of it. I can't shake it. Amen. I don't want to shake it. Amen. Man, I'm thankful that he called me. Amen. I'm thankful he'd be willing to do something with my life and let me, Dan, do something for him. So what's he called you to do? I'm not talking about, amen, giving everything up and getting a bus and going on. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being a pastor. I'm talking about being a Christian.
Yeah, sure.
I'm talking about somebody who's separated and who's serving and who stepped out of their boat of security. Amen? Listen, I remember when God called me into ministry and I pastored for a long time and then he called me into evangelism. When you're pastoring, I had a house, I had a housing allowance, I had a gas allowance, had a salary, paid me a living salary, I could take care of my family. Then he called me to evangelism. You ever try to go to a bank and borrow money when you're in evangelism? First thing the banker asks you is, what do you do for a living? He says, I'm an evangelist. He says, what does that pay exactly a week? Your answer is, I don't know exactly a week. Amen? And I'm not complaining. God's always take good care of us. But I had to, as a whole different, listen, it was easy for me, Jordan, to preach about living by faith when I knew what was coming in every week and I could budget my expenses. But when I had to make that leap from being in the boat of security, in the boat of salary, to stepping out and saying, okay, I'm going to trust God through his people to provide my needs and keep fueling that coach. Amen? And can I say this? There's never been one time, 12 years now, there's never been one time God hasn't met our needs. In fact, it's been so much fun living from the hand of God, I don't know if they ever want to go back taking a salary again. Just watching God meet our needs and watching God provide. I took a picture of a fill-up on that coach 2 weeks ago. $326. That wasn't even a full tank. That was 102 gallons of a 130-gallon tank. And somebody said, man, that's a house payment. How can you afford that? And I'm like, man, I'm just grateful. God does it every time. Amen. I'm just every time, man. I'm telling you, every time that coach needs fuel, God takes care of it. Amen. Every time his preacher needs something, God takes care of it. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, hey, if you'll get out of your boat, amen, and trust God for those things, he will take care of you. What's that verse? I'm young and am now old. I've lived this verse. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Or a seed begging bread. Amen. Let me ask you to bow your head.